It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, and we'll begin reading there. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all of the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies unto thy hand. And he gave them tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even a shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Ener, Ishcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." Let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's precious word. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy this time together. Please that you will guide and lead us as we study your word today. I do enjoy this sweet time that we have. Please that you will grow us in your word, teach us your way and will, strengthen us, Lord, to follow after you today. Please, Lord, through this study, touch every heart, whether it be to grow closer to you or, Father, to come to you for salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please, whatever the need is today, it is a work that you must bring to us, because as being ourselves just flesh, we have nothing to offer you. It is all a work that you do in us. So please, Lord, convict the hearts, show them that are lost their sinful condition and the need for salvation through you and you alone. And Father, help all of us that are saved, born again, to grow closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have been through with the kings in the 14th chapter here, and just a quick review, if you'll remember, this is the listing of the first war that was ever fought in the scripture. Doesn't necessarily mean it was the first one, but it was the first one that was ever listed. And so we have that here before us. And also we have this man named Chedorlaomer, how that he came down across from over by the area of Babylon. We have the listing of those kings in the first few verses of this chapter, and we find one of them has the town's name, or the land's name, is Shinar, and you'll find that over between the Euphrates and the Tigris River and in the area of Babylonia. And so they have come from there. It's something, because that's exactly where Abram has come from, is in that same region. He came from Ur of Chaldees, which is a little bit south of there, But he came right through that region as he came over to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. So this king, Chedorlaomer, kind of headed up with the others, and he had folks with him, other kings and kingdoms that went with him. And there were four that set out to go against the five kings of the south. And when I say the five kings of the south, we have those down below the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, around Zoar and in that area and that region there. And so we have, in a period of time, the king Chedorlaomer coming against these kings of the valley. Well, they served them, the fourth verse tells us, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. In the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year Chedorlaomer came after them. He decided that was enough, and so he set back after them. And we find at the very end of verse 9, you'll find four kings with five, and the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and they went their way. So we find that the king Chedorlaomer with his allies came in all the way across the land, went up north first out of the land of Babylonia, north across, then down into Canaan, much the same way that Abraham had traveled, come into the land of Canaan, all the way down to the southern tip of the land, down to the lower part of the Dead Sea. Called, if you, depending on what map that you would look at, why, you'd find that the Edomites live there much of the time during the Exodus. In those, Moab is close by, Ammon is close to that. All that region and area in there is the area that we're speaking of here. As Chedorlaomer came against them, possessed them, and they served Chedorlaomer, these kings did, of this land of the south below the Dead Sea, served him for 12 years. The 13th year they rebelled, the 14th year Chedorlaomer came after them. And so during that time then is what we just read in the 10th verse of chapter 14, how that they went up against them and they fell again to Chedorlaomer and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this time he didn't leave them there. This time he brought them back home. He took them back to, or was heading back to his home. Well, I don't believe that Abraham would have given the time of day to any of this, nor would the Word of God had listed any of this battle or these other kings, if it had not been, as I said last time we were together, for this little three-letter word, and that three-letter word is Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. Now what happened, we find, if you remember, I don't want to keep reviewing this, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even at the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Now that's the reason, again, remember I mentioned this little town named Zoar. Well, that's kind of where we find that Lot ended up living, down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's in the region and the area. No one knows for sure where Sodom and Gomorrah was located because it was so totally destroyed, and when the Lord's vengeance come down upon the wickedness of that land, and we'll find that pretty shortly here. But right now, Lot looked at it, he moved into it, he was living there. Because Lot was living there, then we find what we're reading here in the remainder part of the 14th chapter of why Abraham has got to go after him and why it was even listed. It's the only reason it was listed. And again, I'll start with the 11th verse. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their victuals, and went their way. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Ishcol, brother of Ener, and these were confederate with Abraham. One had escaped and come, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. You see, even though Lot's life didn't have any example of a Christian walk, none at all, we find that Lot did not have any kind of a testimony, anything familiar with what we look at with Abraham. He was a child of God. He was saved. He was born again. At one point in time, Lot came by faith, as Abraham came by faith, as Sarai came by faith, and was saved. You see, the Old Testament saints are born and born again the same way that we are born again. We must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We must confess our sin and be born again. Come to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save us. And by grace, we are saved. Same as the Old Testament, same as the New, nothing has ever changed. I hope that you understand that you cannot be saved by works today, nor could you ever be saved by works. Well, we find here that Lot was saved. Didn't have a testimony at all, but he was saved. And when Abram heard that his brother, now see, this is his nephew actually, but he called him his brother, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them into Hobah, which is to the left of Damascus. Now we find that they immediately, you know, as a believer, we should be ready. Ready for whatever situation, whatever circumstance comes. We should never be shocked. We should never not prepared for battle. Abraham was prepared for battle. Now, did he have his own army set before him? Did he have all this ready to go? You know, we have no list of him setting up these soldiers so that if he ever had to fight a war, he'd be ready. But yet he took his army and he prepared them and his men, his servants. You know, I called him his army. Let's just read to see what it says. Armed his trained servants, the scripture says. And when it says armed, it means, and then trained, those two, they prepared for battle. He gave them instruction. These people were born in his own house. There was 318 and pursued them unto Dan, the scripture says. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left side of Damascus. So immediately they went after them. They sought to destroy them, and they decided that they would be strong enough to do so, didn't they? How did Abraham know to go to battle? How did Abraham know that he could defeat them? Well, he did. He defeated the enemy. Isn't it wonderful that we find that Abraham, again, was prepared to do battle? I hope today that you're prepared to do battle against the enemy. I hope that you're ready, prepared, and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ today to do battle. Now, Abram was ready. Did he know that Lot was going to be taken when Chedorlaomer came through? I don't know. Did he think that even though Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, which was under the rule and reign of Chedorlaomer before, wasn't a problem? But when Chedorlaomer took him captive with all the rest of them, that was a problem. And that problem here, it continued, and when it come to the place where Abraham needed to go after his brother, he prepared, armed and trained his servants, born his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of all the kings that were with him at the valley of Japha, which is the king's dale. Now, we find right there that the king of Sodom was rescued, Lot was rescued, all that were taken from of the south here down by the Dead Sea were all returned unto their home by the power and by the strength of Abram with this small little army of 318 men. Went up against Chedorlaomer, the folks of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those five lands could not stand against Chedorlaomer, and yet Abram, with his little army, a band of servants, went up against him and defeated him. And it says clearly, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale, defeated. Chedorlaomer was defeated, brought them all back. On their return, with this victory, comes someone that we've never heard from before, Melchizedek, king of Salem. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. We have no mention before of a priest or of a king. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this man named Melchizedek, king of Salem, which Salem is Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Now, let's take a minute and let's look at Hebrews chapter 7. Because Hebrews chapter 7 will show us, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." This man, Melchizedek, continues in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. It says, "Without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." Melchizedek. Who do we have that meets with the same qualifications that Melchizedek possesses? How about the Lord Jesus? Jesus is a priest and king. Jesus has no father, has no mother, without descendants, neither have a beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Where does Melchizedek come from? Is he an actual man that lived at this time? What did Abraham do when he came in contact with Melchizedek? Abram gave him a tenth, a tithe. This is before the law. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. Moses gets the law. We're into the book of Exodus before that ever happens. Yet Abram meets Melchizedek and shares with him a tenth, a tithe of all. Look at what the Melchizedek brings to Abram. He brings forth bread and wine. What do we have when we have the Lord's Supper? We have bread and wine. Who is our priest and king? Jesus Christ. Melchizedek, in all the scripture, gives us no knowledge of his father or his mother, of any of his descendants, of his beginning or of his end. Is this Melchizedek a time when Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, comes to earth and ministers unto Abram? We know that a little later, when he bargains with God, that is the pre-incarnate Christ, when two angels and the Lord Jesus comes to earth and meets with Abraham before Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. Is this another time? Abram surely recognizes him, or he would not given him a tenth of all. Melchizedek. Let me read once again the seventh verse of Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all, tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness. Isn't that our Lord Jesus? And after that, also king of Salem. Isn't that our Lord Jesus, which is king of peace? Again, our Lord Jesus. Without father, without mother, without descendants, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually, after the order of Melchizedek, the scripture would tell us. Was this a man that lived at that time, that held that position? Very possible. Or is it Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, come to help Abram? As we look at Abram here, he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. I'm back in Genesis 14:19. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. And now comes a little different situation here. And then the king of Salem said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even a shoelatch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Ishcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Abram didn't speak for them. He said, They have went with me, they have helped me with this victory, let them take their portion, what they would like. But for me, I want nothing, because I do not want any one to say that you have made me rich. And that's speaking to the king of Sodom. Now, we found over that the condition of Sodom, and let me just read back in verse 13 of chapter 13. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That was their condition. Why did Abram not want to take anything from this man, this king? I will not take from a thread even a shoe latch, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. You see, Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Who do we desire to make us rich? Do we want to get rich from the world, or do we want to get rich from God himself as he blesses us? Would Abram been strong enough, after doing battle and traveling back, would he have been strong enough to turn aside? You see, he deserved that. That was his portion. What the king of Sodom was offering him, normally when you go and do battle, the spoils are yours. The king of Sodom didn't really have these to even give to Abram because they were already Abraham's. But you see, Abraham wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted none of them. Would he have been strong enough if Melchizedek had not met him on the way? And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, verse 17 of the 14th chapter tells us, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." You see what was happening? The king of Sodom was coming towards Abraham, but Melchizedek, king of Salem, came forth first and offered him bread and wine. "I know, Abram, that you're tired. And I know, Abram, that you are worn from this trip and from this battle here." And he gave him bread and wine, and he blessed him. He built him up. And you see, we need to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our power and our strength. We need to depend upon his word for our power and our strength. Abram needed him. He was there. Was it a pre-incarnate Christ? Was it just a man named Melchizedek that has the same qualifications that Jesus has? I don't know. But I know that this man was real. This man ministered to Abraham. And this man gave him enough strength that he refused to take things from the king of Sodom. And he was able to give such a testimony. "I do not want anyone to say that you have made me rich. God is going to make me rich. That's who will bless me. I don't want anyone." So we need to have that kind of a testimony. And then again, he went on here in verse 24, "Save only that which the young man have eaten, and the portion of the young man which went with me, Aner and Ishkul and Mamre, let them take their portion. Whatever they need, let them have what they need." And so you see, we have a beautiful picture here of what's taken place. Now do you see why that Chedorlaomer was even listed? Why these wicked cities of the valley of the south were listed? Why again these four kings of the east were listed and talked about? All because Lot got in the middle of it. He was backslidden. He was in the world so much that he loved the world. The world was all of his life, even though he still was a child of God. Now he's going to come back. Abram went, rescued him, brought him home. With that came the other kings. With that came an opportunity for Abram to be all the richer from the spoils of the land, the spoils, the victories that were there. But because King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met him, strengthened him, gave him leadership, gave him direction, and he was able to say, "Don't let anybody say that you made me rich." Now, I hope that through this, you'll understand how that we need the study of God's Word. How we need to pore upon it and study it and search it and love it and know that it is our strength. The world will get a hold of us and the world will pull us away from the presence of God if we do not spend time in His Word. So please today do that as a believer. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, please today call upon Him. Abram had this opportunity to meet Melchizedek, king of Salem, because he was a believer. Melchizedek, king of Salem, did not come out to meet the king of Sodom. He did not come out to meet the other kings that were brought back. He came out to meet Abram. That's what we have in Jesus Christ, one that is always there to build us up and to support us and to direct us and to give us wisdom. Please look to Jesus Christ today, first for salvation and then for victory in your life. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. I've come by faith to Jesus. I'm saved. I'm growing closer to the Lord Jesus every day. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Please call upon Him as He convicts your heart. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?